So today, Kevin is going to bring us our educational moment on how to build your speaking business, and particularly on how to find your niche or your market space and how to go after that market space and how to build business from that market space. Kevin's great at this. I've heard him speak on this before, and I always walk away feeling encouraged. One of the things I like about Kevin sharing is it's doable. It's not like, oh, I got to become this person or that person. It's like he gives us practical ways to actually apply these things in our speaking business. So let's give a round of applause for Kevin Snyder, our president.
Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate it. As Jim just mentioned, some of this is going to be a little bit of a refresh for us. Some of it might be a little bit of a review and a reminder of what you already know. Is that a good thing?
Yeah.
Exactly. It's not what we know, it's what we apply. Right? So repeat after me. How speakers find paid events.
How speakers find paid events.
All right. How?
Okay.
Just by the word how. There's a process to this. It doesn't just happen. It's a byproduct. How speakers, not somebody else, not your agent, not a bureau, right? How we can do this. How we find, not get, that's a different program, all right? But how do we find paid, repeat with me, say paid.
Paid.
There's nothing wrong with us saying that. If we treat this like a hobby, that's the income we will receive. Let's treat this like a business. A business has to be paid. And events. So how do speakers find paid events is what we're going to focus on today. Sound good?
Yes.
All right. So a few years ago is when I discovered this. As most of you know, I started speaking to college students. I had a full-time job working at a college, worked at several different colleges, and over the years I've built a fun hobby of speaking. And when I became a dean of students at High Point University, I was asked to get rid of that hobby. And it made me question if it was actually a hobby because I was getting paid more speaking, taking a day or two off a month, than I was in my real job. And when I gave it up, I realized how much I missed it. So the universe kind of got my attention. But I discovered that there were two criteria that were important before we embark on this process of how to find paid speaking engagements. Okay? And those two things that I discovered were any organization, any industry, whether it's college, corporate, nonprofit, anything out there, there's two criteria. How many?
Two.
There has to be a structure to that industry. There are some industries that don't really have a structure, and that's not an industry I'd recommend that you go down because you're going to get exhausted because you're not going to find paid speaking events. The second is just that, events. Repeat with me, say events.
Events.
Conferences, training events, annual meetings, regional sales team gatherings, specifically structure and events. If you can focus on those two things, you'll be able to get success very quickly. And when I quit my dream job, mm-hmm. and High Point was a great opportunity for me, but I went from zero, from literally nothing, wondering if I'd even make it, to within 6 months having 11 keynotes lined up. Wow. Through this process I'm going to share with you today.
How many months?
Six.
Wow.
Only one of those speaking engagements was paid. But within 1 year, I was asked to keynote for several state conferences. And within 1 year after that, put me right in the middle between Daniel Pink and Hillary Clinton at the National Sherm Conference. Wow. That year I made over six figures in speaking. Not to impress you, but to impress upon you, this process, I feel, works, and it's replicable for any industry. So even an industry that you might have a perfect fit for, that I have not a perfect fit for, because I can't translate, as Jim mentioned, to be able to translate value for them, that's not an industry that I'm going to focus on, because I want to make sure what I can deliver to is effective, it's relevant for them. So I know certain industries are the best fit for me, and this is how I do it. Now, back to the title, how we find them. is key. Whenever we're going to outreach to an organization, this is a process I'd recommend. 95% of my speaking now comes when people see me speak. Which, if you design websites or do marketing, you'd say, well, your marketing sucks. But the best marketing for a speaker, guess what it is? It's to speak, because your product is your speech. It's the value through your speech. So the best marketing for us is to speak. Okay? All right, so let's get right down to it. Here's the key. We have to focus. For my conversations with a lot of folks, I've had over 100 coffee talks, free dinners and lunches. When I first moved here, people were wanting to take me out and ask me questions about how do you get, and I'd ask them what they'd want to speak on, or who do you want to speak to? And most sentences started with, well, business leaders, or, hey, I want to speak to college students. That's still not enough focus. So what we're going to do today is we're going to drill down and how does this focus actually make sense. And here's the fun metaphor that I like to use. Let's say that you and I are going to go chase some squirrels. Okay? Folks, these are all the speaking opportunities that exist. It's overwhelming. If you've ever felt overwhelmed, it's because there's so much out there. So we have to focus. And if we're going to catch even one of these squirrels that you see, what are we going to have to do? It starts with an F.
Focus.
We're going to have to focus, right? So how do we catch that one squirrel? We pick it out, right? And by picking it out, we say, well, which one is most relevant to me? Which one's the closest? Which one looks, there's certain criteria to that. And that's a whole other conversation. How do you identify the right target market for you? But once we do, then it's focusing on it. And then developing the strategy that I'm going to share with you in just a moment about how to find those engagements. So it's really about identifying who is your target audience. In the field of squirrels, who's that target audience? In this case, let's have some fun with this. Who's your target squirrel? So the question I'd write down for you to ask yourself is, who is my target squirrel? Anybody want to share real quick? Who is your target squirrel? If there's one specific audience that you focus on or industry.
Community foundations.
Community foundations. I know nothing about them. But if Gene has had success with that, that's an industry. Exactly. Nonprofit organizations, absolutely. That's a big squirrel. Anybody else?
I think I'm going to start with parents.
Okay.
Parent groups, PTAs.
Okay. Good. So parents itself is a massive one, and we can cut that in several different ways. Okay? So all about the bullseye. Now, before we go off embarking on how to catch these squirrels, what do squirrels eat?
Nuts. Where are you going with this, Kevin?
There's lots of layers to this, right? We will get exhausted if we don't have the right type of bait. What if the squirrels came to us? Right? Otherwise, we're going to run after these. Even catching one squirrel is going to be tough. So before we embark on catching these squirrels, we have to ask ourselves, is what is it that a squirrel would need from me as a speaker? And ultimately, folks, what's going to stand out for you is going to be your program. Your program is your product. Remember that. Your program is your product. Now, I think we'd all like to think they're bringing us in to speak, right? They're bringing Dia Irby in, the Dia Irby. They're bringing the Sean Wellington. Well, down the road, I mean, they're not bringing me in yet. They're bringing Kevin's program. Most people don't have any clue who I am, and that's perfectly fine. But they will after I speak, hopefully. And that's what's going to lead to more business. So the program is what will be our nut to catch the squirrel. And ultimately, that's how we hit the bullseye. But unfortunately, I feel like a lot of speakers, they fire too soon. You know, it's ready, aim, fire, not fire, aim, ready, or fire, ready, aim. And that's why a lot of folks struggle. And then they say this speaking business doesn't work, or they just get frustrated. So a process is really important. Now, some of you have seen this bullseye approach. I'll give you a couple examples just so that. I'll give you a college example, and I'll give you two corporate examples. Okay? So if the bullseye is a bunch of squirrels, what's this first level? Anybody remember who's maybe seen this before? What's this level or the outside level, because we're not at the bullseye right now. We want to get to the bullseye.
Industry.
Bingo, the industry. So if we took Gene's example, what, nonprofits? Okay. Or Paula's example of parents, both those could fit kind of right here, as long as we eventually can kind of cut the onion and get a little closer, right? So in my opinion, industry is where we want to start. And great questions about helping us identify which industry is most applicable for us would be, what problem do I want to solve as a speaker? How do I want to help my audience? And probably it's because you have business experience or experience in those or in that field or dealing with those issues that can help them, right? So it's industry would be one. Then it's what association or associations belong to that industry. Okay? Let me give you a college example of this in just a moment. Or right now, and then I'll give you an example of this. I'll actually show you the website to explain how this all works. So if the industry were, hey, I want to speak to college students. All right, great. What type of college student? I want to speak to new students who are starting off to help them get their mind set on college success. Okay, great. That likely sounds something like first year students, maybe first year orientation events. Well, guess what there's a department of on every college campus? Department of Orientation, who plans welcome weeks. That's the event. And we know that there are colleges all over, so that's the structure too. So we kind of know the structure. So industry would be first year college students or college students, then first year college students. The association of that industry would be NODA, which stands for the National Orientation Directors Association. And guess what the folks at NODA do?
Look for speakers.
They look for speakers. They meet. They have their own events. Plus, each campus has their orientation event. Now, in the professional world, it could be even more clear. Because here, where your chapters are your colleges, your chapters of your professional associations meet throughout the year. They've got monthly meetings. Most of them have monthly meetings or quarterly meetings. And guess what they do at these meetings, at these chapter meetings? They network. Those attendees get their credit for coming, but they typically have a speaker. More often than not, they have a speaker. So the chapters are great, but many times the chapters don't pay that well. Some of them do if it's a special type of event, but if we're looking for a mid four-figure contract, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 a speech or a five-figure speech, where we're going to get the bullseye, folks, is conferences. In my opinion. And my opinion comes from experience, but it's just my opinion. The great thing is, once you hit the conferences, guess what? You're in front of 500 people, maybe 1,000 people, maybe 5,000 people. Guess what each of those people are representing? A company. Then this whole bullseye turns into squirrels, right? But they see you speaking, and remember, that's your gem. That's your gem. So the conferences, in my opinion, are what we're going for. Those annual events. And industries and companies, and so they might call these different things. But typically, it's an annual gathering. And you know why they have a budget for speakers? You know this answer. Why do they have a budget for a speaker? Because they are charging...
They have leftover money?
Registration. They charge registration.
Bingo, bingo, bingo.
And they want to be able to...
They're charging registration fee.
And they want the next conference...
And they need a good speaker that they know is going to require a fee. So how do we get to that conference level? It's not going to be just shooting for it immediately. It's probably going to come from some practice. Well, it will come from a lot of practice. Now, you might get lucky... But you don't want to fake this till you make it, because that's your squirrel. Yeah. So the chapters allow you to get that experience, to get that feedback. It also allows people to see you, because then they're going to give you those spots. When I first started with SHRM, I'll give you an example of SHRM in just a second. When I first started with SHRM, I had a mentor who helped me identify my industry was people that do leadership training. I have no clue that SHRM even existed, but I had somebody that challenged me, sat down with me and said, based on what you're saying, you might want to look at SHRM. I'm like, what does SHRM stand for? Didn't even know anything about it. Well, it's Society for Human Resource Management. So the association is SHRM. Now, SHRM is a machine. It's a machine. And they meet all the time, all over the place. So guess what? They've got 14 chapters in North Carolina. So what do you think I did? I buckled down, I focused, and I sent 14 different emails to VP programs, president-elect and presidents of each chapter, individually, with the same email. Got a couple responses back. Most people said, hey, we're already booked for the year. But a few people said, absolutely. Actually, we'd like to get more information. And we'll talk about that if we have time today about what do you actually send them. But within 6 months, that's part of the reason I had 11 keynotes lined up. And in those chapter meetings, several people were on the state conference planning committee who then invited me to speak at the conference. And when they come to you, because they've seen you speak, those are two criteria for me where they're getting a fee. So if the first one's free, the second has the fee. Okay? The first one's free, the second has the fee. And as I mentioned before, this is very replicable. I would need to hear from you, say, hey, tell me what your industry is to kind of explain this model. If this doesn't make sense, I understand, but just try it out. I'll give you a couple examples of this in just a second. What's the bottom bullseye, the outside circle?
Industry.
Association.
Then association, then
chapters.
And what are we going for? Because it is an, starts with an E. Ends with vent. It's an event, all right? So structure and events. Now, can I show you this real quickly?
Yeah.
Okay, let me show you a couple things real quick. First I'm going to show you is SHRM. Okay. So let me show you what SHRM looks like. So I go to SHRM. Now, I don't know to go to SHRM until I do what? Focus on SHRM. SHRM's not going to find me. I've got to find SHRM. Okay? So I go to the SHRM website, and what am I looking for? Structure and
events.
Now, I can show you this fairly quickly because I've worked SHRM. I know SHRM. I'm confident I could look at your industry and probably within a couple clicks find exactly what I'm going to show you immediately here. But this is the point. I want to show you how this is replicable. So first thing I'm going to do is look at SHRM. So typically I see a structure, or if there is one, I discover a structure by looking at membership. When I hover over membership right here, which most associations have this because they want you to do what? Join. Okay? Usually membership will be on the far left, not the far right, as we see here. But on membership, what do I immediately see? Local chapters. I type up my zip code, and let's just see what pops up, because I have no clue. Oh, it wants 50 miles. No, I'm going to go 100 miles. Let's just see. Holy jeez. So what I would then do is click on a couple of these links to see, well, look at more what they do with types of events. Best way to find out, too, if you have a topic that's of value, is look at past events that they've done. See what kind of speakers they brought in. You don't need to reinvent the wheel. Okay, so structure looks like it's there. Now I'm going to look at events. So I click on events. Now, SHRM is nice because, look, the two things I'm looking for, where are they? Right frickin' in front of me, because I know what I'm doing. It's a process. I click on events. Do they have events? Absolutely. And these are their international and their national conferences. So these are the bullseyes. These, if you're just getting, and for me, when I was just getting into SHRM, these, I wasn't ready for these yet. So I focused on the chapters to get to the state, to get to the region, to get to the national and international. So let me show you one of the events that they have. And this should really whet your appetite. State and affiliate conferences. You don't want to go too big, too quick. Click on state and affiliate conferences, and what this is going to pump up are every single state conference that they have. And your average fee here, folks, you're looking at $5,000 to $10,000 a speech. Because they charge what?
Money.
Registration. They've got... Now, beginning of the year, we completed a self-assessment on where we wanted to focus. I believe we all did that, and all of us came up with at least one organization. Mine was apartment associations, because last year I did a couple apartment association chapters who didn't balk at my fee, and I thought, wait a minute, there's something here. Plus, my topic is a nice alignment with them, in my opinion. So National Apartment Association is my focus this year. So let me just walk my talk with you a little bit. What am I looking for?
Events.
Structure. And events. Okay. So if I go to structure, I'm going to looking at how to join. I click on how to join. Now I'm going to do exactly what I did with SHRM. Find your local NAA affiliate. Type in my zip code. And what we see here is starting to look like they've got a structure. A statewide structure. So let me just click on North Carolina. So if I lived in Texas, what would I click on?
North Carolina.
Well, I'd be clicking on Texas if I lived in Texas. But you get my point. All right, so I click on North Carolina. Now watch this. Same thing. Look at all these chapters. And because I've done a few chapters, I did two last year, I've already done two this year. My second chapter last year in the fall, guess who in the audience was also on the planning committee? A person. And in 2 months, I'm the opening keynote for their statewide conference. Not to impress you, but to impress upon you, this is a process that I feel might work. Now, every association is a little bit different. The two I've just shown you are kind of clean and clear. Sometimes they're not. And let me give you an example and then we'll close. I'll show you how this works with colleges. Now, NODA is the National Orientation Directors Association. This is specifically for new student orientation directors, the folks that basically help transition high school students to college. Many times, if not always, they have Welcome Week events where one of those events is a speaker. Okay, they probably have a hypnotist and a band and a variety of things going on that first weekend. Now, for me, having experience in student affairs, I know that they've got a structure, but if you just think about it, the structure, think of what a new student, their journey to college, they're going to go to a college, and there's going to be some sort of welcome weekend or welcome week type of event. So we should already kind of know that, hey, just by the nature of that, there's going to be events, and there's also 4,500 colleges in America. So I don't need to vet this out much because it's there. And same thing with fraternity and sorority leaders, same thing with seniors getting ready to graduate. That's your college career association. But let's focus on NODA. So NODA is the National Orientation Directors Association. Now, what if I didn't have any student affairs experience? Well, guess what? All I would type in would be, if I knew I wanted to talk to new students, I type up new students and college on Google. Google's likely going to be your best friend. Google will end up telling you. There's a couple associations actually for them, but I'm picking NODA. So there's a couple associations, but I'm picking the one that I know about. But if I didn't know about it, I'd look at all of them and say, well, which one seems to be the best fit? And we get several with other types of groups too. So don't let this overwhelm you. Just let it show you that there's lots of squirrels on various fields. But the key is going to come down to your focus. That's where I'm confident you're going to get good success. So anyway, we look at NODA. Now, I know they have structure, I know they have events. Now it's about where, okay? So I'm looking for, I could click on a couple of these buttons and within 30 seconds or so, probably figure out, okay, this isn't the link that I need to dive into. But you keep looking. Now, here's where I click on regions. I'm like, okay, let me see this structure. And there's 7 regions in North America. SHRO, guess what got me into college speaking? Being a keynote at SHRO. It's the largest student regional conference of all these regions, and it's even bigger than the state conference for professionals, or it's even bigger than the national conference for professionals. So getting to SHRO, that would be, in my opinion, that would be your squirrel. And you're not just going to be asked to speak at SHRO unless you've already spoken at a couple colleges. So what I'd recommend that you do would be to go ahead and speak at a couple colleges, pro bono. And what's the benefit of pro bono in this case?
Exposure.
Practice.
Honing your message.
Testimonials, honing your message. It's not what we think, it's what other people say. I can think, I've got a great PowerPoint. I feel like I did a great job, but nobody talked to me afterward. You probably didn't do as good as you think. That's the two things I ask myself after every presentation are, what went well? and what will never happen again? Guess what I usually come up more with? What will never happen again, or what needs to improve? So I've given you three examples, just from my perspective, on how I feel it's helpful to have a focus to know where we want to start, and then how to use the internet also to identify structure and events. Questions? Tom?
For a chapter that you reach out to, you'll identify a bunch, and there are ones that you want to introduce yourself to and maybe find an opportunity to come in and speak free or otherwise. You'll just send a standard email out, basically introducing you, introducing what you speak on, and asking if you could be of service to the chapters.
That would be a good part 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, because today's focus is on how to find them. How to get them is a completely different process, because just because we have their email doesn't mean they're going to return it or even be interested in it. So we have to be prepared to know. So the short answer to your question is, hopefully in that email, you've got a good video or a couple. You've got a website. You've got a testimony from somebody else you spoke to at a local college that can affirm you that you haven't said much about what you're talking about. So there's kind of a lot of things that go into that. But if you had to outreach,
yeah, there would likely be an email that is crafted beautifully so they have no objections.
And you craft it in a way where, how does this answer any objection in 3 sentences with a link to your site? Now, when I first started, I didn't have a website. I didn't have a demo video. I had nothing. All I had was a speech. People started asking me to speak because I was speaking at events that they saw me at. Mm-hmm. So that's how we get away with that, too. But there is an outreach component to this for sure. For sure. We can talk about that at the next one or a future event. Another quick question, one more. Yeah, Peter.
I'm more concerned with the outside of the, right now, of the bullseye, which is industry, because I talk about something vague, which is resilience and climbing out of your hole and everything. So how do you really try to narrow that thing down, that big, vague, motivational thing?
Yeah, how do you even find, how do you pick which squirrel? And the short answer to that would be two things. Number one, just simply know that you, all of us, could speak to a wide variety of schools. We could speak to a wide variety, especially if we have a topic like you do, Peter, on resilience or anything on leadership development or something like that, because that's a universal topic.
Right.
It doesn't matter what industry it is. They're going to have challenges to that, and they need help with that. So that's the good thing. The challenge is going to be for us to say, well, which industry is most suited to me that I have experience in and can talk the language to? That would be how I would kind of get to that focus of how can I help the best, and then start to look at those types of industries. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I think one of my takeaways when I hear Kevin share this is it's probably more work than you want to do to go down this road. He makes it sound easy, but you can see there was a lot of persistence, intentionality, and focus that he presented to it. So, you know, for us to succeed in this, you really have to work at it. It doesn't just happen. But the encouraging thing is, it really can happen. It really can work.